Yes, sir, we promised you a great man. Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, what is here?
Nick Andre!
The China! WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the number something or other ranked sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth, Cheap Heat. There he is, Uptown Malcolm, officially in the building. How are you, Uptown?
I am doing great, P. How are you?
How's the city of Philadelphia treating you thus far?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, man. I'm getting more and more physically large by the day.
I'm sure you are. A lot of steak and cheese will do that to the physically large
one. A lot of steak
one.
And cheese, a lot of delicious chicken.
Oh, no. Are you living close to steak and cheese and delicious chicken?
Yeah, well, you know, steak and cheese is everywhere. And then I'm walking distance from a Shake Shack and some restaurants that serve up delicious chicken. It's surrounding. This is a great food city, a great city. Bad place for me to be, but I'm enjoying myself right now.
I just want to say I'm very excited. We have some guests we're going to talk to in a minute, do things a little differently today. But it is the new era, right? So I should say, before we get to our guest, Greg, what is the thing that happened on WWE TV this week, or in wrestling in general, I don't care where it was, that you're most excited about?
Oh, man.
Not bring it to the table. Don't put me over. Anything else?
I was most excited about this Kyle O'Reilly Aleister Black match that aired on NXT last night. I heard some rumblings on the internets about Kyle O'Reilly showing up at NXT, and Aleister Black has been on a winning streak, and he's been stringing together some great matches down there. So I was excited to see this match, and it delivered.
So this is NXT. I have not watched NXT this week. You would describe this as an NXT definitively worth watching.
Yes, not just for that match. Johnny Gargano returned to the ring, and he had a great match to start off. A nice little tune up for him, and Asuka got laid out by Ember Moon. Hideo Itami showed up, and he has like a new mean streak going into. So going into NXT Brooklyn, like, they're doing a lot down there, and a lot of the pieces are moving and coming together pretty nicely. So I would definitely say that this is an hour of wrestling that you would want to catch.
And as you guys hear this, Cheap Heat, we are slightly more than 3 weeks away. 3 weeks from Sunday is SummerSlam. It is around the corner. I'll say, Greg, the thing that I'm probably most excited about was John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura. Fortunately, first of all, I'm happy that John Cena is alive and still with us. Obviously, that was a scary spot there at the end of that match. But I thought it was an awesome match. I think that John Cena, as I tweeted that night, is the best John Cena we've ever had. Like, this version of John Cena is just solid. It ends up being his matches are so good. I'm not saying you have to love everything he does in the ring, because there are some people who, the way John Cena wrestles, some people will not love him. But the product that you get in terms of, and you date it back to the Kevin Owens debut. From Kevin Owens through AJ Styles to now Nakamura, man. It is a really special John Cena, and as big and over as Shinsuke Nakamura has been, he was officially made Tuesday on SmackDown by John Cena. So we'll get into some of the ramifications of that, but I want to take a short hiatus here, because one of the things that happened on this week was the appearance of a new song. This happened, if you missed it, let's see. Oh, do I have it? Yeah, here it is. Here we go. Let's see.
That explains that. Yes, it does. That was awesome, though. How talented are those, though? Add more insult to injury.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The new, and it's not available for sale yet, but the day one-ish, is that what it's called? Day one-ish remix? The official new theme from the Usos, and we have the creators of not only that, but almost every WWE theme of the last few years. CFO in the building. Guys, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, man?
How you doing?
Happy to be here.
Introduce yourselves individually.
I am John.
And I'm Mike.
And you guys have been making themes for WWE for how long?
Since about 2012, I think, was the first debut.
What was the first? Who was the first person to debut with a CFO song?
That was, I think it was the Raw 1000 episode we did.
Tonight is the Night.
Tonight is the Night, yep. And that was the first time we ever heard one of our songs on TV. It was a huge deal for us. And we had no idea what that would start, but that was the official beginning.
So how did it start? How does the relationship with you guys, and this is obviously a big deal. You guys have now, we on this show, we talk about music a lot. We play themes a lot. I think it's a big part of the way people interact with the product is their excitement over the music.
For sure.
So how did first of all, were you guys fans of the WWE prior? And second of all, how did it start and develop, the relationship with WWE?
I mean, absolutely. I've been a fan since I was a kid. You know, we used to go to all the shows and have all the toys and kind of since day one. Yeah,
It's your day one-ish.
It's my day one-ish, yeah. I have to represent that. It's my day one-ish.
You must represent your day one-ish, confirmed.
I'd probably say I was a little bit more of like a passive fan during the Attitude Era. You know, I mean, when we were in school, everybody had, you know, Stone Cold and The Rock t-shirts, and there was just no way to escape it. So I got sucked in a little bit. But I've become such a fan since working, you know, for the company and just work with the company and experiencing it kind of from a different perspective. It's definitely been kind of mind blowing for me. So
how does it work out? I mean, the guy who runs music at WWE is a guy named Neil Lowey.
Love Neil,
who I've known for a long time. And tell me, and shout out to Aaron who works with him as well. Tell me a little bit about how that relationship with the WWE music department begins.
Well, I mean, it kind of started where if we want to go way back, John was working as an engineer for Wind Up Records, and he was working in the studio that we work out of right now, which is in Times Square. And it was doing a lot of stuff for the label, at the time. And I was working a desk job, and at night I would come out to the studio. I'd take a train into Manhattan and we would just start cranking on our own stuff. So we were essentially both working day jobs. And then nighttime was like our grind time. And, the higher ups over there kind of heard what we were doing, and they kind of connected us with Neil. And then
the higher ups of the studio,
right?
So they heard you guys and they knew they had a relationship.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, you guys do stuff that would work. Is that what they heard it? They thought it was something that would work?
Yeah, that was pretty much how it went.
They're like, oh, these guys actually, you know, are doing their own thing. It's not just, you know, because at the time, John was really just primarily an engineer. It wasn't, you know, writing and in sessions or whatever. So
they didn't know. And then they hear it. They're like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of like a trial period in the beginning. It was, oh, this might be a good team up. And then we started doing a couple things. And after a certain amount of time, it all kind of came together and it clicked.
I guess you could say like anyone that's trying to get into music has that one kind of shoe in where it's like, okay, this is where things started. And you could be making the greatest music in the world in your basement or something, but you need someone to hear it. So that was the moment where we made the connection. And since then it's been a great kind of partnership with Neil and Aaron. And we've kind of built this team that's, you know, been responsible for all these songs.
It's pretty crazy. So the first thing you hear is Tonight's the Night, which was a theme.
Yeah.
So the first thing you hear is your song as the theme of the show.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a trip. That was, I remember when that aired, that was just kind of one of those times when you just have to pause and go, is this really happening right now? Is that me going Tonight is the Night blasting through a stadium on TV right now?
And you did the vocals on
that? Oh yeah. We did all the vocals. We did the whole song.
That's your song, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We wrote the whole thing and we rapped on it.
Let's start that.
Cool.
Let's start there. How many of the intros are your guys' vocals on?
Oh man, at this point,
many.
Many, yeah.
How many are they primary, like really primary vocals on?
In the beginning, I would say a lot of them had us on them. And then, I don't know, we kind of got tired of hearing our own voices, to be honest. And, you know, as opportunities came up to get other talent and other artists in, we kind of sprung on that and wanted to go more in that direction, because you know, this isn't us trying to be an artist where this is our project and it's all about us. You know, it's we're part of a team. We're here to put together great songs for like a bigger cause, and if we can get to collab with other artists, that makes it easier for us and way more fun just for the whole project.
So before we start getting into like specific songs, which is, it's an endless list and it's fun to talk about, what is the process generally like? Because I know it's a collaborative effort. You guys have to, it's not like they can just send you a video and be like, what do you think? And you're like, here you go. Thanks.
No.
I think any of us who know how WWE works know they're a little bit more hands-on than that.
Definitely.
So take us a little through a little bit of the process of getting a theme done for a performer.
Well, I think it all kind of starts with first of all, let me put it out there that we don't see an entrance before we write the music. So there's no like insider view of like, okay, this is the way the person's going to come out and this is the pacing and whatever. We're usually in the dark in the beginning. So we'll start with sometimes a reference track. Sometimes it's a song that the team will kind of give to us and be like, hey, we really like this
element. The feel of this.
Right. Exactly. Nothing too specific, but hey, we really like the way this explodes here and we really like the way this might die down here. So we'll kind of take that, internalize it, and we'll just start doing our thing in the studio and try to find something kind of unique that we can build on, because that's really the biggest thing is you don't want to write something that sounds generic. There's so many rock themes and so many hip hop themes, like you need to do something different with each one. And that becomes the challenging kind of part of our job, I'd say.
Right. And then after we have that, we typically will shoot that over to the team. You know, we'll give it over to Neil, to Aaron. There's a few other people on the team. And kind of just get them involved in the process also.
So they come tell you their notes, their things they like, things they don't like.
Right. And we kind of talk it out. And in the end, it becomes this cool hybrid that, you know, we wouldn't come up with on our own. And
also, like, that's how things get tailored to what's going on internally. You know, like,
because they know they get more of the information on, like, what exactly we need for this person.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, Neil will be calling us and being like, hey, you need to slow this down. Like, you just wrote this song too fast. And we'll be like, okay. And we go back and we do it. And we can go through a lot of edits and revisions in that process, but we eventually get it to where everybody is happy. And that's what you end up hearing on TV.
What's your favorite one? I mean, and I'm talking, when I talk about a list of songs you guys done,
that's a tough one.
The amount of work that you guys have done in this time, you know, dating back, the first one, you guys did Daniel Bryan?
No.
Why does it list that?
That is an error.
That was before our time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Did you do Patriot by Jack Swagger?
I think that was the first one. Actually,
that's correct.
That error, right. Yeah. And then I think followed
by. That's a good one, too.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I believe that was the first theme, the first.
And then I think
theme.
Soon after came like Wade Barrett and.
Yep, they have King Barrett.
Yes. Axel.
They have.
It's so hard to
Curtis
remember
Axel.
That far back, to be honest.
They have the Real Americans. They have Justin Gabriel.
Yeah. Yep.
They have the Total Divas theme. Is that what that is?
Oh yeah, to the show. Yeah.
That's the theme of the show.
Yeah,
the theme song to the show.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome. It's got to be a nice check. Yeah. And does the money work differently, or is it a set deal? Is everything the same, or does it depend what it is? Like, is it different to do a theme song for the show that airs every week versus a performer?
Well, I guess as far as ASCAP payments go, is that what you're referring
Yeah,
to?
I mean, I just like, is there any difference to you guys when you turn in a song to where it ends up?
On the back end, there is, which is, I guess that depends on...
Like how much it gets used.
Right, and how much it's airing on what channels and where and how often in what countries. That then on the back end comes to us.
Which makes sense, because that's about the plays and the amount of ears that it reaches.
Right.
Okay, so you keep going through Sandow, Titus O'Neil, Rusev.
Oh, yeah.
Summer Rae, Eva Marie,
mm-hmm.
Neville,
I love that one. That one was fun to make.
The Ascension, Adam Rose. I'm trying to think of, like, what would you say is the first real monster?
Well, I mean, I guess the obvious one is Bobby Roode and Nakamura. Those are probably the two huge ones that popped kind of the most for us. But, I mean, prior to that?
Well, I think, like, in general, we kind of found our footing doing this when we started doing a lot of NXT stuff. And so Bobby and Shinsuke were like the culmination of all that for us. So
what were you going to say, SGG?
Wouldn't you put Fandango at the top of that list of like the first real monster? Because, I mean, I even bought that one on iTunes. Like, I needed to
is that. Not, is that you guys?
That wasn't us.
That is not us.
No.
So way to go, Stack Guy. Way to make it awkward.
This Wikipedia page is all the way off.
You can't trust them.
It's well, all good, man.
Because Fandango's from that era, but it's not yours.
Right.
Glorious, of course, is, yeah, it's just an absolute smash. How did anything interesting particularly about Glorious, which I don't think it's remotely reached its peak yet for how big, obviously he's not even on Raw or SmackDown
right.
yet. So it has not reached its peak yet, but any interesting tidbits about how that came to be?
Well, I mean, it started on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, which is weird. But...
which we never do. You know, we're not singer-songwriters sitting here, you know, doing that kind of music. So the chorus came first. And then the idea to turn it into this gigantic, like, gang thing was really Neil and the team and just getting it to where, you know, to make it sound larger than life.
They're like, this needs to be big, yeah. Really big.
Yeah, because originally it was more just like a Queen song or a Muse song where
there's a ton of vocals, but there's not 100,000 people singing along, you know what I mean?
So. It does have a Queen feel, though.
That's what we're going for, yes, totally.
Very, very Queen-esque.
Yeah, so. Glorious is very Queen-esque. And
I need to clear up a rumor regarding Glorious.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Allegedly, that song was, and I don't know how inside you can get with this type of stuff, but allegedly that song was supposed to be meant for Shinsuke.
I don't know
he
who told you
it
that.
Down, and then it ended up.
We cannot confirm or deny.
You cannot confirm or deny that. Yeah. Wow, very interesting, Greg. Very well done, Greg. At SGG, pulling out an S for once. Very nice, SGG. What was it like last year, like at NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn, to see Glorious in that kind of, you know, situation?
That was a trip. You actually were not able to make that.
I was being a good boyfriend, and I was at my girlfriend's mother's 60th birthday. So John was like, you know, taking video and sending it to me, and I was like, oh, man.
Did John tell you that I randomly introduced him to Bobby Roode?
Did you? You might have.
That was how we met Bobby.
Yeah.
I was like,
in the back, yeah.
I was talking to Bobby Roode about his song literally 2 minutes earlier, and then John walks up, and I'm like, hey, dude, like, you might, I didn't know Bobby Roode at the time at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, by the way, dude, you know this is the guy who made your song? And he was like, really?
Yeah, I remember that. You guys took a picture that night.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that now.
That was awesome.
Yep. I mean, and he was telling me, you know, he made a joke that night. I don't know if he made it in front of you, did he?
I don't know.
He told me, he was like, dude, my song is so good. I think his quote was something like, basically, I could go out and drop a deuce in the middle of the ring. And it really doesn't matter because my song is so good.
That's amazing. No, I didn't hear that, man. That's good, though.
He felt very strongly. And then, of course, yeah, I mean, I think this one is becoming also something quite iconic.
Yeah.
It's such a huge part. I mean, when he debuts after WrestleMania, this song is as important a part of Shinsuke's debut as anything.
Yeah.
When did you realize just how big his song was becoming?
I have a moment for that, actually.
Okay.
It was at the Barclays as well. And, you know, he's coming out, it like hits, you know, everything starts going. And I got my phone out and I'm up and I'm just taping it. And all of a sudden the entire arena starts singing along to the melody, which isn't even a vocal. You know what I'm saying? So, and I like had to put down my phone. I was just like in awe. And I was like, wow, people are singing along to a violin part that we wrote. Like that was a trip for me. The whole place sold out singing.
And to think now that it's much bigger now than it was then. I mean, it kind of continues to get bigger. I mean, you want a big one. The big one will be at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Oh, very, very excited. Very excited to see that.
And his first opportunity to win the WWE Championship. I mean, that's going to be super special.
Oh, yeah.
What else? What are the other ones that you think? Here are the ones that I have in my computer, if this tells you anything.
For sure.
The ones that I have, so this means they're the most mage, would be Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the Glorious. It would be, of course, this, which is quite mage as well. Finn Balor.
I mean, the one and only, man.
I mean, this is a big one, too. I mean, in the entrance conversation.
Absolutely.
Especially Demon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys must pop extra hard for Demon.
Yeah. That same thing, like, the first time I saw him coming out and... Especially that point when, you know, he throws his hands up and the, again, sold out. Everyone throwing their hands up. I just lost my mind. How is this crazy?
But Greg, it's like an interesting thing, right? Because like you guys get to enjoy this moment, seeing people celebrate your music, but you're not the one live performing
it. It's the best feeling, yeah.
Right?
That's what's weird. It's like we're not on stage, but we are in a way when we're at these shows.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Greg, go ahead.
What brought that to the forefront for me too was is Nakamura's theme, especially when Lee Angston comes out and he does the violin part, and I'm just like, he's not the original guy who does the violin part.
You guys wrote the violin part. He comes out and performs the violin part.
Correct.
He's dope.
Oh, he's so sick,
and he's a rock star, which makes it even better. Guys, underrated, and this is, you know, listen, I've already told the Cheap Heat audience that at some point we are going to get a CFO cheap heat theme.
Oh, you better believe it.
This is happening.
You better believe it.
I think this is the one that in my mind is like what I like. I sense being the most for this show.
Oh, I'm so curious what this is going to be.
I was just, you know. All right, my man. I was going to say, right? How's AJ not on your list?
Yes, AJ's in the five I have. This all right. I'll tell you my, I have a critique for the AJ song.
Oh, okay.
Which you guys may not disagree with, but. My critique of the AJ song is goes into the verse too quickly.
Oh, the edit.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that is this an edited
version?
So
that was an edit. That I mean, the original song had the full chorus in the beginning, and then during the process of turning it into okay, how is he going to come out and trying to time everything, we edited the chorus in half.
In person when he performs, he. It cuts off like that as well?
Yeah, yeah. No,
it goes right to the verse. That is the version.
Final song that's on iTunes.
I'm going to talk to somebody about this. I need more.
Yeah, right.
And for my version in the gym, I need more. They don't want none.
We can start making gym versions for you.
Yeah, I do. Well, you know, this is basically my gym playlist of new songs. And of course, you know, and I definitely have, there's some question marks about what kind of man I am. But this is very high for me.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, this is one of our favorites, too.
Why do you guys like this one so much? And why does it resonate with me so much? Like, why is it so good?
It resonates with me, too. I think it's just the pure artistry of it. I don't know. That's the only
thank you, man. I appreciate
that. Well, and it's also Stat Guy only roots for black wrestlers. So whatever the theme is, he's, you know, Greg, are you ready for this week's first Black Power rankings?
I am. I'm 100%.
Okay, very good. But yeah, so what is it about it, though, for you guys that makes that song so dope? Because it really does. It's interesting. It's like. It's perfect for her character because the Sasha Banks character is a little bit of like an R&B diva kind
totally,
of, right? Yeah. That's kind of what it is.
For sure. I mean, I think for me personally, that was probably just a really honest piece that came out of us. You know what I mean? I don't feel like we had to try too hard to like, okay, well, you know, what's the hook? What's the concept of the song? Like we saw what she was doing and then we kind of just took that and internalized it. And to me, I just personally feel like, there is a lot of me in that song, and I'm sure you feel the same way as well, where it's not just, okay, we have to come up with a theme for someone.
What do you mean, though? What part?
Lyrically? Yes, yes, yes.
Lyrically.
Absolutely.
And well, it's about a struggle, which I think is what you're kind of touching on. It's like we wrote that at a time where we were just kind of coming up, writing music for WWE. So it's kind of like talking about ourselves, but also just talking about anyone that feels that way, that's just grinding and just, you know, trying to get out of that mundane life. And what's also cool about this song is that it's an actual song. It's more like a traditional pop arrangement.
Right.
It's not so much like, you know, like you're saying, like, oh, you feel AJ goes too quick in. It's like sometimes you got to just chill it out. And I think she just mastered coming out to this and it just kind of took its, you know.
Yeah, there's some. Exactly. So, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah. Another question that you might not be able to confirm or deny this one either, but who does the rap vocals on this song?
It's on. I thought it's listed, isn't it?
Is it? I don't think it is.
I thought on Spotify it was. So, yeah, can you tell us who the rap vocals are?
I don't think so. Actually, I think that that person would prefer to not be credited.
Oh, really? The person would probably rather.
Yeah, I think it was something.
Because it's
again, it's kind of an older song now, so I'm having a bit hard time remembering. But I believe it was. At the time, it was they just wanted
to just do
keep their name off it.
Well, and by the way, that wouldn't be the first time. There are artists who their themes are an interesting thing.
Absolutely.
Like if you're a known artist too, like I remember there are always people who I was like, is that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
like Lil Kim and Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
Like Lil Kim didn't get like, she wasn't out there like celebrating to the world like I did someone else's theme song because it's a little bit weird. Yeah. To almost create such a big part of someone else's theme.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, also, I mean, what would happen if you go out on a limb as an artist, right? You put your name on something and then that superstar just doesn't take off for whatever reason.
Right.
And then you're attached to that in some way. So, I mean, if it's a huge hit, of course, you know.
Then maybe you want the credit, but if not.
You want it, right.
Right.
Underrated?
I'd say so.
I think this is very underrated.
Thank you, man.
Agreed.
The Charlotte theme. The reason I say that is, obviously, it had to have that.
Of course.
But how you make that part work is not as easy as one might think.
Definitely not.
Because it's not a matter. It would have been one thing if they said, oh, just sample it and chop it. But you didn't chop it.
It's a hybrid, man. We like
played it.
Right. Yeah, we play that, and then there's like all the EDM drums, and then there's just heavy rock guitars. Like, there's a lot of different genre stuff happening here, which was probably the biggest challenge. But
for some reason, I popped for this part, actually.
Yeah. Just doing curls.
It's just it's great gym music. It's great. And then it comes back. How much did this one change over time?
Oh, man. I don't think too much on this one, to be honest. I think this was another one that we kind of came pretty close to just hitting it on the head, you know, like on the first pass.
Right. And that was a long time ago, too.
But it's cool, too.
That one's been around for a while now, too.
Yeah, because as you're saying, though, it has, like, ups and downs and, you know, kind of chills out and then comes back and then gets really heavy. And it just
any new ones you guys are very excited to hear, like, when they come on, you pop for it big right now? Like, what gives you the biggest pop right now? I mean, the show, you guys are almost the whole show every week, practically.
Pretty much,
I know the new Usos one, you're very excited.
Yeah, that was awesome to see them come out. They just...
And you got to work with them.
Yeah. They were in the studio about a week ago, probably. They came in, you know, we came up with a hook with them. They got in, they tracked everything, and it was a blast, man. Those guys are...
They're cool, dude.
Those guys are so cool.
Yeah, I mean, we were really excited just to give them a new song when Done With That came out as an instrumental. We had a conversation with them, and they were like, we just need something that bangs. And we went through a few options and finally kind of landed where we did. But it still felt like it was missing something. So it was kind of like something that was being talked about for a while, and they finally jumped in.
A long time. Yeah. And we were talking with them for a while about doing that.
They were ready to do it. So
it's by the way, and you know, and tying this into what's happening right now in the week of wrestling, I mean, they're a great story too, an inspirational story of like a lot of times in your career, you work really hard to get somewhere. Then you get there, and when you get there, it's not what you think it's going to be.
Yep.
And like everyone's like, oh, you made it. And you're like, yeah, but this isn't really that great. This is not what I planned for. And then you grind and grind mm-hmm. and grind, and like 10 years into doing it, whatever their number is. Greg, how long would you say the Usos have been there? Close to 10?
Yeah, because I remember Bret Hart introduced them to fight the Hart Dynasty on an episode of Monday Night Raw. So whatever year that was that Bret came back
to
Mania,
like. That's a long. That's like 2009.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago. The Bret return is a long time ago. So when you think about how long ago that is to now, let's be honest, their year is 2017.
Oh, absolutely.
So
they're in their peak right now.
They're in
100%.
This is the beginning of their what will be their biggest run in WWE.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty cool story as well. And I know you probably can't leak any information, but like, do you have any new ones coming soon that you think people will be excited about?
There's always songs in the pipeline.
What about, is there anyone that like you would love to get a chance to take a crack at their theme that maybe they have an old one, or maybe you already did it once, but you'd love to redo it? Is there anyone like, or someone from the past or from anywhere else in the world that you're like, oh, I would love to get a crack at making Kenny Omega's theme?
That's funny.
Is that what you were thinking?
I mean, he popped into my head, but,
that's a tough one. That is a tough spot.
Like, are there any that come out that you're not, you're like, there's parts that you wish you did differently?
Of our own songs?
Yeah.
I mean, in hindsight, for me personally, there's always certain things that I'll always pick out just because to me, like, a song isn't ever actually done. You know what I mean? I have a hard time sometimes saying, okay, this is it, the song is done, and put it to bed.
Like, you kind of wish it's points, you'd be like, hey, can we just get that back and just
tweak
a little bit?
But I'm also a bit insane like that. Like, right. That's just how my brain works.
But we also don't, I mean, we don't have the luxury of time sometimes. Sometimes we do, right. Which is great, where we can sit with an idea or maybe switch between a couple of ideas for someone and then pick the best one. But there are times where it's just like, hey, guys, we need something and, you know, by tonight, like, get to work. And so you don't have time to second guess. It's not like being in a band or something, or like just as an artist in a studio where you have a month to make your record or a few months to make your record. So we've gotten used to that. And I think in hindsight, yeah, there's little things, but usually we just try to trust like our process and just trust our instincts as musicians. And, you know, most times it works out.
So. Yeah, you understand that, Greg. You live in Philly now. # trust the process. hey, guys, thank you so much for making some time. Enjoy SummerSlam weekend.
Dude, thank you for having us, man.
Thank you very much.
Can't wait to see you there. I'm sure
we'll... And where can people follow along with everything you're doing?
Twitter at CFO's official.
And the S is a money sign.
The S is a real S. Well, it's actually...
No. Oh, really? On Twitter, it's a real S.
On the Twitter handle, yeah, because you can't use...
In general, the name of the band is CFO with...
CFO's.
It's CFO's.
Yeah, it's like plural CFO's, but just, you know, we just had to spice it up and make the S a dollar sign.
You know, it's very confusing.
It's appropriate now, though.
Exactly.
Right.
There are some dollar signs.
That has been a thing, though. Everyone's like, how do you pronounce the name? I never knew how to do it.
By the way, if you had talked to me, I would have told you get rid of the damn money sign right from the beginning.
Hey,
I am the king. Being old, getting older in this business, now I'm 38, watching artists start their career, the amount of times that, like, if it's early, I'll be like, hey, lose this. Because I know if my initial reaction is confusion in any way, I'm not the only one.
Well, just like everything we do, it's a team process. So.
Right. All right. Well, good. Then I'm suggesting you change it.
Right on.
CFOs, thank you guys so much for coming through.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, thanks, guys.